It's come time for our first message. I want Brother Scott Moneyham to come around. And he is the pastor of the Holly Springs Baptist Church down in Rutherford, North Carolina. I appreciate this man, appreciate his friendship, appreciate his faithfulness to God. Amen. And he and his family have been a part of camp meeting for years. And we love him. I want you to hear him while he preaches what God's laid on his heart. About 30 minutes. Amen.
Preacher. Amen. Well, if you'll take and turn over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, and turn left to chapter 49. It is a joy to be here. Time would fail for me to tell of the blessings my family, my life have received in this place through the years. Amen. Well, he's not done that much for me. Well, if you'll not sow sparingly, you won't have to reap sparingly. Amen. But it is a blessing. It is an honor. I want to look at just about three verses from this 49th chapter of Isaiah this morning. I'm going to put in verse 13. One man said this is an autobiographical chapter. The ideal servant, the Lord himself, is speaking and testifying. And he does so in these first 12 verses. But I put in there in verse 16. The Lord then says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted." But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. Our Lord testifies, this ideal servant, this polished shaft, this polished arrow in the first verses, and gives Israel, gives Zion many, many reasons that they ought to be singing. But instead of God's people singing, they were sighing. They were complaining. In fact, they make some very foolish charges here. They've been in captivity for many years, I'm well aware of that, but they foolishly charged the Lord with forsaking them. They charged the Lord with forgetting them. And no doubt because of those days in captivity, it looked like God had forsaken, and it felt like God had forsaken. But I'd remind you this morning, everything's not always as it appears, and everything's not always even as it feels. And amazingly, our Lord does not rebuke them for feeling that way or even talking that way in this instance. I mean, our Lord just doesn't say, "Suck it up." Our Lord doesn't say, "I told you way back there when I brought you out of Egypt that I love you. Must I tell you every day?" No, the Lord amazingly does not rebuke them. But he does two simple things in these short verses I've read in your hearing. He makes a couple declarations, and then he gives a demonstration of the fact that he has a love that will not forget. And I pray that the Holy Ghost would help me set that before our hearts this morning, a love that will not forget. He begins with these declarations, and he first declares what can't be: a mother forgetting. Yet the Lord says, even though it seemingly can't be, yea, it can be.
For you see, this Father is declaring that within his heart, within the heart of this Father, there's a love that's greater and there's a love that's stronger than the love of any mother. Now, we all know there's a bond. There's a bond, no doubt stronger than any other bond, I guess, on earth that exists between a mama and her child, a mama and her baby. Why daddy can teach his boy to play ball before he can hardly even walk. He can buy all the equipment down through the years. He can go to every game from Little League on up all the way through college. And when that boy wins the Super Bowl and the cameras flash in his face and he's asked if he's got anything to say, he says, "Thanks, Mom." That's just how it is. And we know that's how it is because there's that bond that exists between her mama and her baby. In fact, a God-given natural instinct kicks in, even in the most immature mothers, even in the most unprepared mothers. Once that birth comes, there's that motherly instinct that kicks in. Why, there's been many a young lady, she's planned on giving up the baby. She's going to give the baby up for adoption and all that until the baby arrives, until the birth comes, and that changes everything. Oh my, there's a connection, there's a love, there's a bond between a mama and a baby. And God though says what seemingly can't be, can be, can be, can be. It physically though seems impossible. In fact, God's designed it in such a way that mom is focused on that baby. Why, every mother here knows this. With birth comes milk. With birth, physically with birth comes milk. And the more that baby nurses, the more milk there is. I mean, it physically seems impossible. It physically seems this cannot be. Yet God says it can be. It emotionally seems impossible, because one more time, the Creator, God Himself, has designed that as that baby nurses that mama's breast, there is a connection and there's a bond that begins to grow and become stronger with every nursing day by day. Oh my, in fact, that skin-to-skin contact brings contentment both to the mother and to the baby. Oh my, my oldest grandson's soon be 15 months old. He had a little difficulty getting here, and things didn't look good for several hours and a couple days, in fact, there. And his mama was on a ventilator in one hospital in the ICU. He was flown an hour or so away in another NIC unit on another ventilator there. He would have days there and she would have days there, an hour or so away. So you know what those nurses in that NIC unit did? They gave my son a piece of cloth. And they said, "You take that down there and you have your wife. You have Hampton's mama. You have her keep that on her breast for a while. You have her lay that on her skin for a while." And he did that and took that back. And they put that little cloth in there, in Hampton's little bassinet or whatever you call it. I want to tell you, that did more than medicine. That did more than anything else. There's a bond. There's a connection that comes between a nursing mama and a nursing baby. I mean, what a picture of God's great love. I mean, that baby does nothing but take. That baby does nothing but take. That baby can't even hold his head up to the breast. That baby can't cleanse himself. That baby can't clothe himself. That baby can't birth himself. It just takes and takes and takes and takes, and mama just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. And that little baby becomes that mama's world and the focus of that mama's world. Yea, what seemingly cannot be, Yea, it can be. What seems unnatural, what seems unthinkable here, God says it can be. Now don't miss the picture the Lord paints with His brush. Don't miss the picture this morning. He's not talking about a mama forgetting a wayward child that's walked off and gone off. He's not talking about a teenager that's rebelled. He's not talking about somebody that's walked away. No, that's not the picture. The picture here is of a mother nursing that baby and that baby being pulled from the breast of that mama with milk dripping off his chin. Oh my. And in that moment, God says, yea, they can forget. I'm not preaching on the baby this morning, but He does say, you do notice, they can forget. Of course, it's easy to understand. It's easy to understand why a child might forget that with all the pacifiers and milk substitutes that can be stuck in a baby's mouth. Preacher, I'm going to tell you what, y'all, I'll run a rabbit right quick. We just let him make one circle. Y'all get rid of them pacifiers. Y'all go to feed them the Word of God, and they're going to grow it. But you can stick a religious pacifier and keep anybody shut up for a little while. But I want to look at this picture. God declares here, what seemingly can't be, can a mother forget her second child? He says, yea, they may forget. Oh my, how can it be that mama would forget that child? Well, could I offer for a moment right quick a couple reasons? I'd say to you, depravity would be a pretty good explanation. I know that word might chafe some of you, but it's a pretty good word. It describes the moral bankruptcy and the spiritual deadness. I mean, the moral, spiritual, depraved soul there. There's no other explanation for why Gomer would walk off from those babies. There's no other reason why Gomer would hand that baby to Hosea and walk out after another loaver. Oh, how about despair or depression? I want to tell you, there's no other explanation for why Hagar would take that young lad and cast him up under a bush and wait for him to die. She's not holding him and saying, son, it'll be over soon. No, she's so depressed. She's so gripped by despair. Forget. Can a mother forget? It can't be, but God says, yea, it can be. Or how about desperation? Remind you in 2 Kings, the famine becomes so great in 2 Kings 6, that a donkey's head, you talk about eating sow's meat, a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver and about a handful of dove droppings. A fourth of a cup's what it says. About a handful of dove droppings sold for 5 pieces of silver. I mean to tell you, it was desperate days and desperate times. And two mothers get together and they decide, hey, what let's do? We'll kill and eat your son today, and we'll kill and eat my son tomorrow. I want to tell you, it's desperate. And that's exactly what they do on that first day. Then the second day rolls around, and that second mother has hidden her boy. She has hidden her boy away. And she's upset. She's tore up. But she's not tore up that they've killed and eat this mama's boy. She's tore up that this mama is breaking the deal and she ain't gonna have something to eat that day. Can a mother forget? Yea, a mother can, God said. It seems impossible, but yea, God says, say God says it can, or how about the devil? My Lord, there's no other explanation for the Susan Smiths and the Andrea Yates, or the mother in Charlotte that on Tuesday went into the ICU room of her own one-year-old boy and tried to smother him four times. I want to tell you, there's no other explanation than the devil, the thief, the murderer, the destroyer. Or how about death? Because I want to tell you, death will bring an end to the expression of every mother's love, at least temporarily. I planted my mom in the ground back in March. She had dementia for many years. I can't even tell you the last time I ever heard my mama call my name. If she is having a good day and it got where they went too many good days, if she is having a good day, she could say, I love you. But I want you to know, I've not heard that. I've not heard that since death comes. Death brings an end. God says, yea, it seems impossible. It seems like it cannot be. But God says, yea, it can be. He makes a declaration you need to see this morning. He declares what can't be that, yea, it can be. But quick here, there's a second declaration. He declares what can't happen. Well, he declares what can't be, but it can be, a mama forgetting. But he declares what can't happen, and that is him forgetting you and him forgetting me. Oh my, because I remind you, our Lord himself said, why if ye as evil fathers know how to give good gifts to your youngest, how much more shall your heavenly Father give unto thee? Because his love's not natural, it's supernatural. His love's greater than the love of a mama. Even oh my, because you can forget depravity. It's pure deity. It's pure holiness. It's pure sinlessness. There's not even a shadow of turning within him. And you talk about somebody that sees, you talk about somebody that knows, the ideal servant. The Lord himself testifies here in these verses. He says, the Lord hath called me from my womb. I remind you, that angel went down yonder and told Mary, thou shalt conceive. That means she hadn't done it yet. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. God saw, the Father saw, the Father knew the Son even before he was born. And you think he knows less about me and you? Why, my Lord. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. In fact, I remind you, here's what Jeremiah said. Before, in front of, proceeding. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. God knew me before I ever got here. God sanctified me before God even called me, before I ever got here. Now you think he's going to do that and forget me now? Not on your life. Well, how about despair? Why, he doesn't know what that is. He knows what it is in you and me, as he sees us biting our fingernails off at the quick. But he doesn't know any despair. He doesn't know any depression, because he's ever in control. Why, back up there in verse 8, there he talks about setting the times and setting the days. I'll tell you, if you set the times and you set the days, you don't have to fret or wonder what's going to happen today or tomorrow. Oh, my. Yea, can a mother forget? Yea, she can. But God says, I'll tell you what can't, that can't happen. But he said, I'll tell you what can't happen. I'll not forget you. I'll not forget you. Oh my, how about being distracted? Why, my Lord, he says in verse 9 and 10 that he feeds. He feeds, he provides. Hey, they ain't a bird in a tree this morning that God hadn't done giving breakfast to. He'll feed them lunch a little bit after a while, and they'll get something before they roost tonight. If he can take care of the birds and the swallows, how much more can he take care of you and me? And the devil, well, my God, who's he compared to God? I mean, when the Lord says, get out, he's got to get out. When the Lord says, get behind, he's got to get behind. And he's already, verse 5, he's already led captivity captive. And you don't have to worry about death bringing an end to his love, because he's already been there. He's already done that. He's already left a lion hanging in the grave and left the other end of the thing open on by. And he now ever liveth. I want to tell you, God declares, when they said, oh, I feel like God's forgotten, I feel like God's doesn't care, God said, your mama may get that way, your mama may do that, but I want you to know, I'll never do it. It cannot be. It cannot be. But don't miss this now. Don't miss this now. God knew they needed to have something besides just hearing that. Because we've all been told, I'll never forget you. I'll keep in touch with you. I'll never forget you. You know, the butler should have said that to you. I'll mention you to Pharaoh. I'll not forget you. Yet within just a few hours, the butler, distracted and everything else, we say he forgot about Joseph. So God, when they feeling like nobody cares, and when they feeling like God doesn't care and God has forgotten, God not only in this passage makes a declaration, he points to some demonstrations. Because you see, he hadn't forgot about them back when they was in Egypt. He didn't forget about them when they was in the wilderness. He's sure enough not going to forget about them now while they're in a little bit of captivity. God knew they needed more than a declaration. Although the declaration's enough, if he says it, it is enough, as Brother Bagwell has said so well this week. But I remind you, God loves in word and indeed, in word and indeed, he demonstrates his love. And in this chapter, he demonstrates his works. Now, I ain't going to preach these. I'm just going to give them to you. He preserves, back up here in verse 8. He preserves. I will preserve. And you want to know how they could rest assured that he would do that? He had done that. He took care of them down in Egypt. He kept the wilderness from swallowing them up. They were kept. They were preserved by the mighty hand of God. Look down there in 9 and 10. He provides. I mean, back yonder when they needed manna, when they needed bread, he gave bread. When they belly ached like Baptists do, he sent quail and meat. When they needed water, he provided water. He's a God that provides. He demonstrates through his works and the works of his hands that he's a God that loves and will not forget. But I love this one all the way down to verse 23. Remember now, keep the image in your mind. Keep the image in your mind of a baby being pulled away, of a baby being pulled away from the breast of its mother. He said, why? Why, kings shall be thy nursing fathers and queens thy nursing mothers. Hey, you talk about royal treatment. You talk about VIP treatment. Oh my, that's what my God does. You say, well, they ain't no father ever nursed. Oh, I beg to differ. I want you to know my father is the many-breasted one. He's the many-breasted one. And as Brother Tom mentioned the other morning, it doesn't matter what kind of milk you need, God's got it. God's got it. Oh my, he says kings and queens. Well, you talk about being pampered. He knows how to pamper. In fact, I'd remind you, it's even a worse picture. It's even a more dire picture over in Ezekiel 16 than it is right here. Because he walks by, and there's that baby. That baby evidently ain't even ever been on mama's breast. That baby's been cast out in the field. The umbilical cord, the navel has not been cut. Ain't anybody washed that baby? Ain't anybody salted that baby? Ain't anybody swallowed that baby? Ain't anybody held that baby? But the Lord comes by and says, live. Yea, I say live. And he washes and he cleanses and he clothes and he puts on gold and silver. He pampers. I like being pampered by my wife. But I want to tell you, can't nobody pamper me like him. Ain't nobody pampering me like him. Oh my, he pardons, he saves, he redeems in 25 and 26. But here's what I want to leave you with. He demonstrates he cannot and will not forget by his works. But he demonstrates he cannot and will not forget by his writing. By his writing. By his writing. Now, thank God, I'll say more about it in a moment. Thank God for the book. Thank God, written. These things have I written unto you that ye may know. But oh my, they something better than a book he's written on. See, in these days, kings or masters often would take their servants and would mark their name or would set their mark on the foreheads or somewhere on the body of their servants. Tattoo them, if you please, but I don't like to use that word. It's a violation of Deuteronomy there, but that's another message. But masters would sometimes mark their servant. So if somebody found one, I know who you belong to. I see your master's name on you. But could I tell you about a master? Can I tell you about a master that does something far better than that? Can I tell you about a master that is chosen to freely and willingly? He's chosen to mark himself. He's chosen to write upon himself, oh my, instead of putting his name there on servants. He's putting his name upon us. I know, I'm well aware of that, but oh my, in his own hands this morning, he's graven our names this morning. That word is, Brother Mike, Bible can tell far better than I can. That word graven has the idea of with force to mark with force, with a nail and with a hammer. And could I remind you at Calvary, our Lord graven our names in his own body. He graved our names that day. You know that two on their way to Emmaus. Oh Lord. You talk about hearing a sermon. They hear him start at Moses and the prophets. And some of you complain, well, Preacher Bagwell's got 11 verses. Moses and the prophets, you'll get that in a little bit. And heavenly heartburn, no doubt got to stirring in their heart. But it was not until they were sitting in the house that he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he reached it to him, as we say in the man. He reached that bread to him. I believe when he reached out there, I believe they saw their name. I don't know their name, but God knows their name because he wrote it down. How about Thomas? Oh, they've told Thomas, Thomas, he ain't forgotten about you. Thomas, he ain't forsaken you. But Thomas just wouldn't believe it. Thomas just wouldn't believe it until that next Lord's day, our Lord showed him the marks. Our Lord showed him his name. In fact, those names are still there. John's already seen them. Now, thank God for his writing. Thank God for his writing in the books. And yea, in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll shout with you about it. I'll sing with you about it, but bless God, he's written my name down in something better than a book. He's written my name down in his own body. My name is there this morning. You think he can forget about me throughout all of eternity? He sees my name moment. Can a mother forget? Yay, a mother forget. Oh, what can't happen? Oh, yeah, it can happen. But what cannot happen is God forget you. And God forget me. He has a love. He has a love that will not forget. Amen. Amen, preacher.
Don't you appreciate that preaching? I love you.
Amen.